and we've been on a series of the fruit of the Spirit. We finished that up 9 weeks in a row, and how the Holy Spirit moves through us, and we, you know, those fruit of the Spirit are from the Spirit. You know, it's not from us, it's from the Spirit. So we've been on that theme. And then, of course, last week, Resurrection Sunday, and Paul talked about how we needed to know who Jesus is. The world has lots of ideas of who Jesus is, from a good teacher to a good prophet to just a really brilliant guy that had really brilliant teachings. But we know who he really is. He is the Son of God. He is God incarnate. He is God. And through him, through his death, burial, and resurrection, we have new life. We are new creations. We are, the old man's put away with him, and we've been raised with him as well. And Paul talked about last week about his own personal change in his life. And people that knew him when he was younger, as the blonde-haired guy, would be surprised about his doctorate and about him actually leading a church and being a pastor of a church. That change that came with his acceptance of Christ. And he talked about Paul and his conversion on Damascus Road and about that dramatic change of his life. So there needs to be a change. Many Christians, many churches today are not teaching the change. They're teaching this grace, which Paul talked about in Romans as well, about against the works, about there's no works that we can do that will make us redeemed, saved, which is all true, right? First five chapters of Romans, Paul makes the case and tearing down the law is for the people that thought that the law was going to save them, and tore down the moralists, the people that thought that their good works are going to save them, tore down all that and saying only thing, it's all based on faith and the grace of God that saves us, right? So today we're going to see in chapter 6 of Romans, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 14. But before that, I want to get into and talk about something that's coming up next month. Juneteenth. Everybody know about Juneteenth? It's kind of a controversial holiday. But it's really significant for what we're going to talk about today. June 19th, 1865 is what we're celebrating. We're celebrating, some of us are celebrating, the last people of the slaves that were actually told that they were free. But the actual law, the emancipation, happened in January 1st, 1863. So 2.5 years later, after they were legally free, they were told they were free. And even after they were told they were free, the slave masters would tell them they're not free, or tell them, they whisper in their ears or to help tell them directly, what are you going to do now? You're free legally, but what are you going to do? You have this freedom, but you don't know how to live. You don't know how to live free. You don't know how to live without us providing for you. You don't know how to live without your old way of living. And this is what we're going to be discovering today in Romans 6, is how we can live free, live by this grace, live by the freedom that comes with the death and resurrection of Jesus, that the old man, the old slave master, is dead, and we are free indeed today. But many of us, myself included, we all have those things where we don't feel free. They still have the devil whispering in our ear, or our own doubts about the sins we carry, that we don't feel like we can ever defeat those, because we carry them, they're so powerful, so strong. But we are alive in Christ. So this is just like that slave master telling these people that they are not free, even though they are. We have the same thing in our own lives, where the devil, our own self-conscious, those things like that, are telling us that we are still enslaved to the old slave master, but we are set free. So let's get in here. I'm not going to put anything on the things. I'm not going very far. We're going to stay in pretty much in Romans 6. And so everybody pull out your Bible or your phone app or whatever else. So it's Romans 6, 1 through 14. I'll give you a chance to get there. Everybody there? I know it's unusual. We get kind of lazy, you know, with our screens and all. But, I mean, it's a good habit to have your Bible, have your Bible app. Alex, where's it at? Okay. Or look on with someone else that does have something. And if we could, let's all stand up. And as we read God's word, let's do a little bit different. Everything's different today. Let's do that a little bit different today, too. Okay. And I'm reading from the ESV, if you'd like to switch your app or whatever. But what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life, or new creation. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self, the old man, was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died to Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. You can sit down. Thank you. I mean, that's just, I mean, that preaches it all. I don't have to, we could end right there, especially with EJ giving his prayer sermon. Oh, man, we can, that was it. But there are three key things that I wanted to point out here. Key things I got from Adrian Rogers, actually, and I've seen a lot of other people pick that up. And the first one comes from Romans 6:6, verse 6. So everybody look there. And I'll read from mine. We know that our old self, that old man, was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. And this goes on with the slave thing I was talking about before. We're all slaves to somebody. We can either be slave to our sinful nature, or we can be slave to Christ. We have to choose this enslavement. The beauty of it is, in our new life in Christ, it is a choice. It's the actual word here for the slave is called doulos. I think it's the actual pronunciation of it. And it's a bond servant. It is one that freely chooses to stay. Just like those slaves that freely chose to stay with their old slave masters, we can either choose to stay with those old slave masters of ourselves as well, right? We are free indeed. We can stay freely with the old sinful way of our old man, or we can freely choose to go with Christ, right? So this slave mentality is a choice, and we have that power now in Christ to choose that. But the key word I want you to, if you've got an actual physical Bible, is know, or knowing this, depending on your translation in that verse. I want you to highlight, underline, underscore that know, or knowing this. And that's the first point I want. We have to know. We have to know this to be true. And it's not based on emotions or your you know, your guilt or anything else that you have going on in your life. But we have to know this, that this old self, this old man is dead, no matter what we feel like in ourselves. Well, we have to know this, and I have struggled this myself, that this our old nature is dead, and we are no longer slaves to this sin. We have a new identity. You know, in our world today, we have everybody identity politics, and, you know, we use our sexual identity or our political identity or our identity on certain issues like abortion or women's rights or whatever, you know, vegan rights or whatever else. We have these different identities we glom onto. But we need to know, we need to change that idea of what who our identity is tied to. It's not in anything of this world. If you're a follower of Christ, if you have made him your Savior, and even more importantly, your Lord, then he is that he is who you are. He is, when God sees, God the Father sees you on that judgment day, he's going to see you as Jesus. All your other junk is gone. And you're living today in the present time is seen as righteous. And that's a strange concept, but you're seen as righteous. And this, what he's preaching here today, not me preaching it, but Paul's preaching it, is that we need to live that way. We need to know this and get it in our minds beyond the emotions that we are in Christ. The old man is put away. Okay? I want to pull back just a little bit. I said I was going to stay here, but I'm going to pull back to Genesis 39, 8 through 10. We actually went over this in our Bible study this morning. And this is where Joseph and Potiphar's wife did a little interaction where Potiphar's wife was trying to get him to lay with her, right? And the reaction here is what I want to look at, where what he did in this situation. In verse 8, Genesis 39, 8, "But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge.'" And we can stop right there in this proclamation that as Christ followers, as believers in him, we have authority in this world. We have Christ in us. And there's lots of things are free to us. We actually talked about this. I mean, it's kind of a sidetrack from my sermon, but about the freedom we have in Christ. But verse 9, he says, "He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept anything from me except you, because you are his wife. Now then, can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. And then he goes on to run later on, which was a great, great idea. But the continuous thing right here, in his response here in verse 9, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And when we're approached with these temptations, when we're approached with these old sin patterns and these old, you know, the devil's whispering in our ear, that's the response we must have. Is how can I possibly sin against God this way? Because I identify with him. And whatever sin I'm going into, he's going with me. Because we are in with him. And I like to look at this. This is almost like a marriage contract. This unity with Christ. When you're saved, baptized, the whole thing. And I'm not going to get really into the baptism. But in that time, that's why he uses baptism. And in that time when you were saved, it's not like today where we break it up, where you come to the altar, you may have to, you know, say the right words and have the experience and come to Jesus, and then later maybe schedule a baptism. In that day and time, look at Acts 10 and see how that happened. They were saved, and then immediately Peter's like, "Bring in the water, let's get them baptized." It was a one-and-done thing. Everything was done at one time. So that kind of... it was all in Paul's mind, all of that was one thing. Now today, traditionally, we look at it as a confession of faith later, the actual baptism. But as far as the marriage thing, when we come to Christ, it's when think about when you come as a man and a woman into a marriage contract, the two become one flesh, right? In the same way, I don't understand exactly how, but spiritually, we are becoming one with Christ. It is like a marriage contract. It is covenant. It is a holy covenant between you and God, where you become one, and He lives within you, right? And we need to know these things. So this is the first thing, is we need to know these things. And the truth is, you are a new creation in Christ. So we know that. The second, it comes from verse 11. You must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And the word I want you to highlight, underline, whatever, is that consider or reckon, depending on your translation, or counted as true. And this is an accounting term, Donald probably liked that, where you're actually writing it down on a ledger. You're putting it down like money, like you're accounting for it, right? And there's no emotion that goes along with this. This is just fact. This is making this union, this becoming one, like a mathematical equation of 2 + 2 = 4. You plus Jesus equals redeemed, alive in Christ. Okay, so this is a fact that you can count on, you can believe on. There is no, and it doesn't matter how you feel, like I said before, it doesn't matter your emotions or what's going on in the world, you can account and count on this. Okay? Now, the third point we want to look at is from verse 13. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Okay? And the key words here, depending on your translation, like I said, is the present. So it's two times in there. Or offer, give, lend to. I can't remember all the different translations, but this is an active participation. We are to present ourselves when we're faced with different sinful desires or things like that. We are to present ourselves to the holy things, to the righteous things, and not and yield to Christ and not yield, that's the other word, yield, not yield to the sinful desires and the sinful things that are coming into life. And it all relies on, because it's counted to us, that we are righteous. And then we know these things are true, right? So these are the three things that we can rely on as our overcoming sin and living in this new reality of we're living by the grace of God. It's not just that we can do whatever we want to and act however we want to, but we are representatives of Christ, and not just representatives, but we are little Christ. Christians means little Christ, and we should be acting like that, right? Going out about our day and in each situation acting holy and redeemed. Now, this is a process. Of course, we're not going to walk out of here and all be just, completely sinless. But this is a process of sanctification that we go through and learn from as we're going through these things. But just as Joseph didn't avoid sin, he served faithfully wherever he was placed, we are also supposed to do the same thing in our lives. As we're working, whatever job or function we're in, if we're driving a truck or working at a feed store or whatever else, we are to walk as if we are walking with Christ. And everything we're doing, we're making those decisions. We're presenting ourselves to a righteous way of living. To give an example of this, I have a little story. In the 14th century, two brothers fought for the right to rule over a dukedom in what now is Belgium. The older brother's name was Reynold, but he was commonly called Crassus, a Latin nickname meaning fat, for he was horribly obese. After a heated battle, Reynold's younger brother, Edward, led a successful revolt against him and assumed the title of Duke over his lands. But instead of killing Reginald, Edward devised a curious imprisonment. He had a room in the castle built around Crassus, a room with only one door, and the door was not locked. The windows were not barred, and Edward promised Reginald that he could regain his land and his title any time he wanted to. All he would have to do is leave the room. Sounds good, right? The obstacle to freedom was not in the doors or the windows, but in Reginald himself. Being grossly overweight, he could not fit through the door, even though it was of near normal size. All Reginald needed to do was diet down to a smaller size, then walk out a free man with all he had before his fall. However, his younger brother kept sending him an assortment of tasty foods. And Reynold's desire to be free never won out over his desire to eat. Some would accuse Duke Edward of being cruel to his older brother, but he would simply reply, "My brother is not a prisoner. He may leave when he so wills." But Reynold stayed in that room for 10 years until Edward himself was killed in battle. Reynold was free. We're free. You're completely free in Christ. Free from the sin, free from the old man, free from all of that. We need to know this. Account for it. And then present ourselves in that fashion. Yes, the devil is going to whisper in our ear, and our doubts and past, you know, shame and guilt is going to be in there. But we have to practice, you know, and this is more than just a positive, what is that, positivity thinking or whatever, positive thinking kind of the kind of thing. This is a truth that we can count on. Like I said, it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's there. So we can live this way. We have victory over these things. We just have to know this. We have to get in God's Word, and the more and more you're in His Word, and more you're focusing on His Word and prayer with Him, and spending time with God through the week, during the week, especially, you know, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesday nights, not just in our play practices or whatever. It's in a constant, unceasing prayer, you know, prayer without ceasing. It's staying connected with God and keeping that in the forefront of your mind that you are His child. We are all His children, and we can act the part. We can be the part because we are the part, right? So the three things, we got to know it, and we got to account for it, and then we got to present our members, present our body, present our minds to this fact. And then Paul succinctly concludes this section in Romans 6:14. "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace." And this is living by grace, right? And anybody here, I'm assuming most everyone, knows what I'm talking about and knows this freedom, or at least has the concept in their brain. I mean, we had to practice this and get used to the idea. And I'm learning this myself, that we are free from these things. But anybody here that does not know that, has no idea what I'm talking about, don't leave this room until you find out. You know what I mean? Or somebody online. I mean, hit us up. Hit me up on the YouTubes or whatever. And let's talk about it, because there is this freedom. There is this new life. There is this new way of living, this new creation that you can have in your life. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace that frees us from sin, makes us alive to you, and calls us to be instruments of your righteousness. Like Joseph, help us to say no to sin, live in your presence, and offer ourselves fully to your principles. Empower us by your Spirit to walk in newness of life, respecting your love in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen.